No matter what you ride or drive, it's all about taking it outside. So get on your bed, motor scooter, and ride. This is Outdoors with Wheels with Lynn and Donnie. For best results, mix thoroughly with dirt, add adrenaline, then shake really well. And now, Outdoors with Wheels, here's Lynn and Donnie.
Well, once again, we're ready to roll, and even though the weather is dipping in temperature just a little bit, it's still a great day to get out on two wheels. The sun is supposed to at least peek out behind the clouds today.
I think it's going to need to do a little more than peek.
It certainly is. We are on the very beginning of a cold front to bring you your official motorcycle weather report from Outdoors with Wheels.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be a three-layer riding day if you go riding this morning.
Well, I'm not sure that we're any more reliable about predicting the weather than the weather people whose information we're following to share with you. So why don't I just welcome you to Outdoors with Wheels, Radio with Roost, and I'm Lynn Beckwith.
And I'm Donnie Stewart. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Fortunately, last weekend, the weather stayed relatively clear. It was kind of cloudy, a little bit brisk, but Grom Day out at Cycle Shack North in Conroe was a great success.
Yeah, it was a fun time out there, and those little bikes once again proved themselves amazing.
Well, for those of you that let the nippy weather keep you away, you missed such a dynamic demonstration. Those little bikes do absolutely amazing things when the right person is riding them, and there were two very right people riding them last Saturday. That would be Jarrett and Garrett, who both work at Cycle Shack North, and they have years of riding experience.
Yeah, both of those guys are very capable riders. They each have a number of years of riding experience and some years of working on doing some stunts too. So you're looking at some pros out there.
Well, in addition to the pro riders from Cycle Shack North, there were some really wonderful riders that made it out from both the Houston Grom Riders Club and the Houston Grom Squad. And as we find with so many motorcycle organizations, these riders are involved with riding on two wheels for the fun, for the sport, and for the camaraderie. So the Groms are really small bikes. They're just 125cc. And when you first look at them, they look like a bike for a child. A lot of people would use them for pit bikes. But there are some serious riders on these bikes. As a matter of fact, there was one Grom that showed up, two up. So, Donnie, were you a little enticed to want to ride one of those Groms?
I don't think you could watch those things go through their paces and not want to be out there on one.
I felt like I was at a circus for a little while. There was so much going on. The two demo riders were riding at the same time. They would come in from opposite sides. They would spin circles around each other. They would do stoppies together. It was really very impressive. And what struck me the most was how very controlled they were. It was almost in slow motion at times. They were able to come so close to each other, so close to even the crowd, without any issue.
Yeah, those guys really exhibited some talent out there, and watching those little bikes go through their paces was sure a good time. You know, I was visiting with some of the other Grom riders out there, and a couple of those guys had the larger sport bikes before they swapped to the Groms. One fella in particular told me that he just simply enjoys riding the Grom more than he ever did his sport bike, which was quite a testimony to the little bike.
You know, I have seen that in the automotive industry too. Sometimes a vehicle that you can ride at 80, 90, and even 100% of its capability can be more fun than the supercar or the superbike that you're barely able to get on the throttle and do anything with because it's so powerful.
Yeah, that's a good point. Who doesn't like to take a go-kart out on the track and just wail at full throttle all the way around?
So who do you think we ought to hear from first? Do we want to talk to one of the Grom Club enthusiasts, or do you want to hear from the two demo riders first?
Well, in fairness, I think the riders who showed up came from a lot farther than Cycle Shack to be part of this thing, and we should give them first up at it. Let's hear from Travis. So we are at the Gromathon at Cycle Shack North, talking with Travis. Travis, where did you guys ride from this morning?
I came from Sugarland. My buddy Ricky picked them up in Pearland.
So from Sugarland to Pearland and then out to Cycle Shack?
Yes, sir.
Right on. And the temperature was what, about 40?
I think so.
Like you went through a little bit of dirt to get here.
Well, we always like to see that. So you guys showed up with several Groms, and one of you was riding two up on the Grom. How did that work? Have you done two up on your Grom yet?
I have, just at like car meets or whatever. No like wheelies or anything, you know, cruising around. It's a good little bike for it.
I'm sure it's more suited for having fun on singles than doubling up. Well, tell me about some of your other riding experiences. Is this your first bike or many before?
I've had many bikes before. I've had several dirt bikes. My past actual street bike was I believe it was a 2001 Buell Blast, and then sold it for this because I just absolutely loved it. And take it to the Buell to car meets and whatever. I saw these coming up. It's like, I kind of want one. So I just kind of sold the Buell and got this, and I absolutely love it.
You know, I find that kind of interesting because many people see the Grom as a starter bike. So originally it was designed, it's, you know, it clutches easy. It has all the attributes that make it easy to ride and for a new rider to ride it. But I have run into more and more people like yourself that are very experienced riders that have opted for the fun that the Grom presents over the power of your cruiser.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, the cruisers are great. I love them for long distances, but just like goofing around, I'm a college student, just to have fun on the weekends, it's a great little bike to have.
Now, much like Donnie here, you had some dirt experience growing up, I believe.
Just for a few years, yeah. Used to ride motocross from, I believe, when I was like 6 to about 10, 11-ish.
Where did you race?
I have no clue. It was a long time ago.
He raced in the dirt, like any good motocross rider should. Well, what I've also noticed about learning how to ride in the dirt is it gives you skills that help keep you safer on the street. And when it comes to the Grom, it helps you learn how to do a few tricks.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, what Grom organization are you with?
I'm with Houston Grom Squad and Houston Grom Riders.
Well, I have looked at the online presence, and what's most impressive are the photos of the on-street presence. Donnie, do you remember seeing some of the photos we looked at of Scads Groms and a video just kind of taking over a city street?
Yeah, for sure. It looked like ants all over the road.
How often do you get to ride as a big group?
In a big group? It really depends on whenever we try to put a group together. I'd say about every weekend or so that we try to have a big ride, or even that, they're so tiny that I can throw them in the back of my truck and go up to Dallas for a group ride.
Well, one of the things that the motorcycle community shares, whether you're riding a big cruiser, whether you're riding a Grom, or for that matter, if you're on a dirt bike out at the motocross track, is a great sense of camaraderie. A whole lot of friendships are formed on two wheels. And I would imagine the friends that you're making as you ride your Grom now will be with you most of your life.
Yes, ma'am. That's completely true. I agree with that. Most of these people, I never knew them before I had a Grom. I've had a few friends that had them, but that's like one or two people. I've known all these people for the past 4, 5, 6 months, and they're great.
We understand that completely. Thank you for taking time to visit. I know you guys are anxious to get back on two wheels. Go have fun.
Yes, ma'am. Y'all too.
Thank you, Travis.
Well, shortly after we talked to Travis, all the Grom riders were starting to load up. It was right at the end of Grom Day. They were all headed out to do stunts on a practice lot.
Yeah, I think all the festivities and action at Cycle Shack North parking lot kind of wet their whistle for more.
There are several Grom groups in the Houston area. You can find several of them on Facebook if you do a search for Houston Grom Riders, Houston Grom Squad, and there's also a group in the Kima area.
Well, I'm anxious to hear what those guys that did all that fancy riding in the parking lot have to say. Let's go talk to Jared and Garrett.
What an exciting day out at Cycle Shack North in Conroe, Texas. It is Grom Day, and we just had an amazing exhibition by Jared and Garrett. You guys are obviously very, very skilled riders, and these little bikes, you make them look easy and fun. And I'm going to go to you first, Jared.
They are very fun to ride. Less power than a 600 or a big sport bike, but you get into less trouble on the streets with them. That's why I like it.
Well, I think if you did the things you were doing in the parking lot today on the street, you'd still be in trouble.
Yep, that's why I switched to the small bike. I can't control myself.
Well, you had everything very much under control out there today. I was quite impressed. And Garrett, you were doing some pretty impressive tricks as well.
Well, thank you. It's a long time doing so, but it's fun when you get on a smaller bike. You kind of enjoy it a little more. It's ear-to-ear grin. Like you said, the bigger bikes, you tend to get the more police looking at you. But in the parking lots, and you're going riding around and goofing off, it's a lot more fun. But the bikes itself, it's small, but it comes with a big package, though. It's pretty fun in the streets and in the parking lot. It doesn't matter really where you go, but big ear-to-ear grin, that's all I can say.
Well, I wish all of our listeners could see you guys, because I'm not talking to teenage boys. I am talking to full-grown men that are riding what a lot of people consider a pit bike, but it is so much fun and has become so popular that you see entire groups of them riding down the road. They kind of rule the road as they take over cities, literally. Now, have you both
both been stunt riders before you got Groms.
Yes, I've been doing this for about 16 years or so. I was real young. The first thing I could do instead of jumping a dirt bike was see how far I can ride a motorcycle wheelie. So it led to more and more progressive of getting out of the streets, riding around on a bigger bike. And then when you're on the streets, you kind of brought it back to the smaller of the parking lot to learn the more technical tricks and slower tricks. So that's where you get a lot of your balance and everything at that point is in the parking lot. You go ride around the street and be a hooligan, but you get in a lot of trouble and speed does hurt. That's where I've been at. But it's been a long time coming, so it's always fun. It makes it look easy, but I've been doing it for a while.
Well, you definitely did make it look easy. How about you, Jared? Have tricks and stunts been part of your riding style throughout your riding career?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I got a bicycle, I'd see how many yellow lines in the road I could ride wheelies. And then I'm about 10 years old. I got a YZ60. I could not keep a back fender on it. Had no concept of how to use the rear brake at all. Once I learned how to use the rear brake and kind of get to a balance point, that's when I really got it dialed in and moved to Florida. I was 18, went to MMI, got a street bike, and that was it. After that, I started chopping it up, beat the tank in, put a handbrake on it, and been riding wheelies ever since.
Now, we're going to post some videos of you guys on our Facebook page so all of our listeners can actually see this demonstration. But to give you an idea of what these two gentlemen have been doing is they haven't just been riding wheelies across the parking lot. They have been riding wheelies, coming to almost complete stops, spinning circles. It looked like synchronized swimming. You guys were turning circles around. Actually, I believe that one of the salespeople were out in the parking lot at one point, and you guys were turning circles around him.
Yeah, that's kind of what my parents used to tell me was when they saw me riding a motorcycle on wheel, they called me a ballerina on a motorcycle, but man style. But you got to go around. You get somebody out there in the circle, you got to go around there, and you got to enjoy it, because the one thing you can do is on one wheel is only either go straight or go left and right, and you circle around and do it again.
Yeah, it's fun. Circles is one of the more technical tricks. He's actually got a handbrake set up on his bike, so he could take his feet off of the pegs and move his feet around on different spots on the bike, so and then have control of his brake on his hand. I plan on putting one on my bike soon, but that's how you see the different riding styles from the two of us. It's just what you can and can't do with handbrakes and a little bit more power and all that. It's fun either way. Bone stock, I was riding it just like I am right now. I mean, it's fun either way.
You're limited to a certain amount of tricks you can do with just the foot brake. You have to go and put on a handbrake to control the bike going back forward from going backwards in it. So if you don't have a handbrake, you're not going to do any more of the technical tricks than just heaving your foot down by the stock foot brake itself. So you have to add a couple more parts into it here and there to actually go and do some of the tricks that way. But a full stock bike can do all of it yourself, no problem. So enjoy, have fun, be safe.
Now, this is just one modification you can do to the Groms. The Groms, like so many vehicles, have become something that everyone loves to customize. There are tons of different ways you can do that. I noticed one of the employees here, Travis, has a bike out there that he has created a much taller seat for. Many of the guys have put knobby tires on. I know today for the tricks, you guys were both running more of a street type of tread. What else have you done to the bike?
I've got a little performance done. I got a little bore kit to it, and then intake pipe, exhaust pipe on it. I got a fuel controller just to add a little bit of more power to it to control. The bike itself doesn't make a whole lot of power stock, but once you open up with some aftermarket parts, it makes it breathe a little better, and it takes and has a little more sound to it with a pipe on it so people can hear you coming every once in a while, because the stock bike is a little quiet. But parts alone, you can do motors, you can do performance plastics, you can do all kinds of little things out there. There's a lot of goodies for these bikes. You just got to look out what you want to get, because it gets expensive. Once you start doing it, it leads to another.
It's addictive. I know it is. Now, you actually have experimented with a few different bores and different builds on this bike and have ended up back with a stock bore?
At the moment in time right now, I'm just trying to consider what I'm doing with the bike. If I'm going to be riding it around on the streets anywhere distance-wise, I'll go with a bore kit just to have a little bit more power. But in the parking lot, when you had a bore kit and you're doing circles and tricks at low speed, it produces a lot more heat. And with a bike being air-cooled, you don't want to have a whole lot of heat dissipated right there in the top. It makes the bike get hot and you might burn up your piston and everything. So, like I say, when it comes back to where you're at, performance is great, but if you're going to be riding around slow speeds like this, the stock bike works great for what it is. So you don't necessarily have to spend a lot of money to go have fun, just a couple of necessary parts like a handbrake or a cage or something that. But performance is fun. It's one of those things. You got to find what you want to do and how deep is your pockets, because it does get expensive.
And sometimes when you have different riding styles, you have to have multiple bikes. That's the addiction and need for bigger garages. Now, what have you done to yours?
Mine hasn't really had any motor work done to it. I have a 5-year warranty on it, so I'm kind of leaving my motor stock for the moment. I got a cage on it. It's a crash cage designed to where when you drop your bike, it doesn't break any levers or foot pegs or anything like that. Kind of protects your engine. If you fall and, you know, instead of bust a hole in your crankcase, leaking all your oil out, it protects your engine. I have different set of handlebars on them from the stock bars. They're a little bit lower, stronger. I have protective handlebar guards that prevent my, bark busters, but more for the street, so it prevents my levers from getting snapped off. And really, that's it. I took off the blinkers, took the mirrors off. That's about it. My next thing I want to do is a handbrake for it. But like he said, it gets expensive. I want to get a dual caliper set up to where I have two rear brake calipers so I can control one caliper with my hand and then one with my foot. So that's the goal. That's next on my list.
I love it. I believe this bike is going to be kind of the MacGyver bike. You could do just about anything you want to it. You could do it really on pretty much of a budget. It's a very economical bike to buy. This is the Honda Grom. It comes with a 125cc engine when you first buy it. Of course, there are other opportunities to make changes to that.
Two up out.
Oh, we are standing here talking at Cycle Shack here at Grom Day still. And what we're oohing and aahing about is that a little yellow Grom just pulled up in the parking lot, two up. So, you know, this is a statement about how powerful this little bike is and how exciting it can be. Jarrett and Garrett, thank you so much for visiting with us. Thank you especially for the amazing demonstration.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to take time off of working and go have fun in the parking lot. That's a good excuse.
Thank you for the time, and thank you for your patience listening to us talk about the Grom here, because, you know, there's a lot to speak about on them. They are a fun little bike. If you get a chance, come out and hang out with us on Grom Day. Thank you.
Well, you left your key in yours, right? And Donnie, you're going to distract him really well?
Yeah, I got your back. Well, all I have to say behind that is if you missed their show in the parking lot, you really missed something. Go to our website at outdoorswithwheels.com and check out a few of the videos we managed to capture. These guys are really something to see in action.
They were very impressive, very controlled riders. There's a whole lot of people that can pull a wheelie going fast or taking off from a stop, but for somebody to pull consistent wheelies in circles in a parking lot with cars and people, I was really impressed.
Yeah, they did tighter donuts than most people can do with their foot down while they're riding on the back tire with both feet on the pegs.
We have another really accomplished rider coming up in just a couple minutes.
Yes, we do. He's not a stunner, but he is very well known around the whole country for his riding ability and has been for decades. We'll be talking with pro rider Steve Hatch, who is also a very, very accomplished riding instructor. Stay with us.
The great outdoors, a set of wheels, and you, the three, are destined to dance. Outdoors with Wheels continues on KPRC 950.
When you come face-to-face with a challenge, tackle it. And when you come face-to-face with a deal, take it. During Honda's Ride Red sales event, you'll find great deals on America's best-selling ATV, the Honda Rancher. Right now, get as low as 2.99% fixed APR financing, plus up to $500 in bonus bucks on select models to use in the dealership for gear, accessories, or even your down payment. Just head to Cycle Shack North in Conroe during Honda's Ride Red sales event. Honda recommends utility ATVs for riders 16 years and older and recommends that all ATV riders take a training course. Special 2.99% fixed APR financing available for well-qualified buyers. Not all buyers may qualify. Bonus bucks are good with select new and unregistered models. See dealer for complete program details.
Finding out what's wrong with your vehicle is simple and convenient at Beckwith's Car Care. Their ASC-certified technicians and professionally trained advisors will help you understand your vehicle and keep it safe and dependable. For everything from oil changes to a new engine, from tire rotations to a check engine light, visit Beckwith's Car Care. Call 281-446-4000. They're on FM 1960, just east of Highway 59. 281-446-4000. Proud sponsor and co-host of the Auto Mojo Show on AM 950 KPRC. See.
Attention all outdoor adventurers. The wilderness is calling. Wilderness Rider Ranch, that is.
In the rolling mountains of northern Arkansas, the sun lights fire in the sky every morning as the forest wakes up for an adventurous day at the Wilderness Rider Buffalo Ranch and OHV Park.
Just a day's drive from all the hustle, bustle, and madness of the big city, the Wilderness Rider Buffalo Ranch directly adjoins the Buffalo National River Park in the beautiful Boxley Valley Headwaters region, and it is bookended on the west side by the Sweden Creek Nature Preserve. It is some fantastic, one-of-a-kind natural property.
From hiking and mountain biking, climbing, or even off-road exploration on your dirt bike, your dual sport, ATV, side-by-side, or Jeep. Whether you camp by pristine waterfalls and unique natural wonders or enjoy more civilized lodging, your experience while exploring the Wilderness Rider Buffalo Ranch and OHV Park will create memories which last a lifetime. Start your magical vacation at wildernessrider.com.
We are screaming through the valley where the Nishnabotna flows, through the mud and crud and cornfields where the marijuana grows, across the railroad tracks of Persia, down the hills and up the dale. That's CJ5 with a four-wheel drive, Smokey on my tail.
Two wheels or four, it doesn't matter. It's all about enjoying the outdoors. Get your tires dirty with Lynn and Donnie as Outdoors with Wheels continues on KPRC 950.
So we are out at Sterling Ranch, and we just finished a nice long day of riding the woods. We're visiting with Steve Hatch, who's a very famous motocross and off-road racer and teacher extraordinaire. So, Steve, how many times have you come down here to Texas? I know I've heard you've been here several times just in the last little while.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I've been fortunate to be down here probably the last 5 years coaching and teaching a lot. And throughout my pro career in off-road and for Suzuki and Kawasaki, I've raced Texas probably 20 times every, like, once a year. So probably over the last 30 years, I've been down here a lot and love Texas for sure.
Well, I know a lot of riders who have benefited quite a bit from your expertise, so we're tickled that you still come down here and share your knowledge with us.
Awesome. Well, I definitely enjoy it. One of the things that my mom and dad were both school teachers for 30 years, so it comes kind of second nature. They all said I'd be a teacher, and I was definitely passionate with what I got to do in a blessed, fun career and travel the world and get to do what I love, riding a dirt bike. So now giving back and enjoying to take riders from beginners to pro and help them to become the best that they can is really fun, and I've got a neat system that really periodically takes it and kind of simplifies it and has a systematic approach to take them from beginners all the way through to the pro level and give them some expertise and also let them enjoy the sport that we all love.
Steve, I'm understanding that you have some very unique teaching styles and that you include a lot of physical fitness and general well-being in your approach to athlete training.
Absolutely. I think that's a big thing that's kind of sometimes gets overlooked, especially in the motorcycle world. They don't think that we, you know, maybe look at every factor of it compared to maybe a common stick and ball sport or football or baseball or whatever you want to have. So one of our philosophies, my wife and I, we work on every aspect. So it's not only skills on the motorcycle, but it's also the nutrition. It's also the mental. It's also the physical training. It's all of the elements that come into it. So we really dissect it back apart and really work on all the facets. Obviously, the key one is to be better on the motorcycle, enjoy it more, be safer. And if you want to be faster, that's even better, you know, if you want to. So we kind of dissect it apart a lot to make sure that we can have those systems in place that allow you to be not only better on the bike, but honestly behind in all your sports and to, you know, be educated in all facets of being a well-rounded, healthy human.
Well, that is something that's missing at all ages these days. Now, we're standing out in the woods with a fabulous trail system around us. Now, you are training riders in what disciplines?
I've trained them in all different disciplines. Sterling Ranch is a fantastic place to train and ride. Brad's been great over the years. The rider, I was working with two of them from today. One does about 50% of his riding and racing is motocross, and the other 50 is off-road. And I did motocross and supercross also before converting finally into off-road for my whole career. And then another one of the riders from Idaho, he came down just to get out of the snow also. He does 95% of his stuff's off-road. And we're talking even to help him with Three Palms being right down the street to work a little bit on motocross, because it's always great to be very diversified and learn from each of the facets of motorcycle riding, not just one, because he can become a lot better to understand all of them.
You've been in the industry a lot of years. What trends have you seen moving back and forth from motocross to off-road racing? I'm sure it was some enduro-style racing. And, of course, dual sport riding in general has become so popular.
Yeah, there's been a lot that has transitioned one to the other, and a lot of them cross-train with the other sport. The neat thing for myself, a lot of the off-road riders used to not get on the motocross track as much. You definitely have to learn it and respect it and understand that it's obviously dangerous like anything. But in the same facet, it seems like there's a lot more on how aggressive a motocrosser can be, meaning they'll learn the track and then they'll know how fast they can go off the jumps around the corners. So we don't have that luxury, if you will, in the off-road. You have to learn and scan faster. But a lot of the techniques that we're using now are actually intertwined with motocross as far as scrubbing the bike or keeping it low or power wheelies or, you know, hitting berms and hitting them hard enough to come back out of a corner and miss all the rough stuff going down the next straightaway. So these are all facets that motocrossers really used more, but we're starting to integrate them into the off-road system, which is pretty neat. And then, like you mentioned, the dual sport is really a cool transition in between the both worlds where you can enjoy the motorcycle, see the beautiful scenery, and enjoy it together with your friends and family and people. My wife, when I got into dual sports after retiring, she's like, wow, how is it? I'm like, it's amazing. I get to look around and see all this beautiful scenery. She's like, you've traveled and raced all over the United States and all over the world in 12 different countries, and you have been in some of the most spectacular places. I said, I've never been looking at the scenery. You know, you're so focused on going fast and racing the track. And if you take one half a second to look off to the scenery, you're into the trees or you're making a mistake. So I was always obviously focused.
Well, I am told that you're not only focused, that you are a very aggressive rider, but a very, very patient teacher.
Yeah, they're kind of opposite extremes, huh? Being aggressive, I guess, is my style on the bike, but off the bike, I'm pretty laid back and relaxed. And I really do honestly love teaching and watching people get better because I understand that's the exact same way that I got better. And it's fun when you can finally make it up to the top of that hill or whatever it may be. You obviously, as a coach, live it vicariously through them with their successes and failures, just like I did. So I really enjoy it. And patience is 90% of it, I think, is just having fun with it. If you're having fun with anything in life, you're going to be successful, in my opinion.
What a great career.
Absolutely. Well, a good teacher always judges himself not by how well he can teach the naturals, but by what he can convey to the people that struggle. And I get the impression that you work hard on making sure that the riders who may not have quite as much talent also at the end of the day end up very good.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I think that is the transition for a teacher and a coach, to be able to not only be able to do it, because in my opinion, you think that's, oh, if you can do the actual action, say maybe a pro racer, obviously you'd be a good coach. That's not the case at all. I've seen a lot of, including myself, I think I was okay just because I had parents that were teachers, like I said, but you have to be able to verbalize and really understand your riders. Are they ones that are understanding it? Are they visual? Are they, you know, auditory? How do they take in their information? How do you explain it? How can you tweak it so they can comprehend what you're trying to teach? And I constantly, just like with my racing, I felt like I'd never arrived and I always wanted to get better. I've been working on my verbiage. I've been working on my systems. I've been working on everything to try to be the best coach I can to help riders to improve the quickest they can and to enjoy it like I have.
Words of a true champion, not just at riding, not just at racing, but certainly at life. What great practices to bring into your career as a teacher now. One of the things I noticed right away is that you will teach beginners, that you'll teach someone kind of specifically for their own skill level. So you have different opportunities ranging from online to private instruction. Can you review a little bit of the program for us?
Absolutely. No, that's great. Yeah, everybody asks that because I'm fortunate enough to get to work with a lot of the top pro riders also. Like, wow, it must be so, they kind of anticipate it's going to be easy. It's actually the hardest because they're so good and we're working on such fine details to make them better. Where it's a lot easier, honestly, to take a complete beginner that doesn't have any bad habits and just say, put your elbows like this, look ahead, clamp the bike, and do a few key fundamentals that they'll be like Gumby. Then we can form them to a good rider in the right body position instantly. So to change bad habits, my youngest that I ever taught was 3 years old, and the oldest was 84 years old. And the three-year-old was actually, believe it or not, a lot easier to teach than the 84-year-old. Even though he was a good rider, he had so many habits that it was tough to change any of those. So I think that's part of it is understanding the different levels. With my systems, you're right, I have online training that's through the website. It took me 3 years to shoot and video and to put it down there into a five-step system on each and every different type of technique, like hill climbing or rocks or sand or whatever it might be. Got 80 video clips on that. I have stuff on nutrition, mental training, how to prep, all sorts of facets on the kind of the mental side and how to become your best. And then I have different levels with programs from beginners to pros and even weekly programs that I do for a year at a time with some of the top up-and-coming experts and pros all across the United States. So there's kind of a big facet. So anywhere from $20 a month all the way up to $10,000 a month, there's different basically skill levels and different programs that I have intertwined with Steve Hatch Racing.
So I'm really curious, when you were prepping for a race, did you have a special song that you sang, hummed, or played?
That's a good question. I've never been asked that one. Van Halen, You Might As Well Jump, is probably obviously the good one, that, especially when you're doing motocross or jumping. Yeah, I didn't actually have just one. Most of the time, early in my career, I did stuff when I was younger at the last minute on purpose, because then I didn't have to be nervous going to the starting line because I kept myself busy. As I got older and more mature and more of the mental warrior, I understood that my best results came from being quiet and getting my own kind of space to mentally prepare for the battle or for the race. So I actually went from maybe a little more loud and with something that would take me away, like a song, to actually being quiet-minded and getting really focused in on the race and later in my career. So it kind of morphed and changed, which is kind of neat.
That is. That's really interesting. You also incorporate nutrition into your training, which I think is excellent, because riding a dirt bike, even just for sport, not even for competition, requires a ton of energy, better muscle tone than most of us think we have. But you also incorporate yoga into your training.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is physical. Everybody thinks, oh, it must be nice just to twist the throttle. And those of us that have obviously are riders like we all are, it's interesting to see the difference of how physical it really is. And especially as you ride more and tougher terrain and harder and faster, it becomes obviously multiplied as far as how much the effort is put into it. The nutrition's a huge facet of it. You know, what you put in, you get out. So we're really intertwined with that. My wife's into nutrition, yoga, physical hypnotherapy, you name it. We're into all the mental stuff. So she's, if you will, a pro at yoga, so to speak, and been getting basically her doctorate for 12 years in traveling and working on the yoga facets. We just got back from Italy where she was doing a yoga retreat over there a few weeks ago. So she's very special to have on the side, and we can kind of come at it. I can come at it more of a racer's mentality with a lot of the, especially the younger guys and gals that want to be the next pro. And she comes at it more with, you know, open-heartedness as well as the yoga and understanding the behind the scenes with the mental and the breathing and the ujjayi breath and all sorts of things that are really a neat way we can kind of bring it from two different sides. So whether you have the same mentality as I do or she does, it's kind of neat. We kind of meet in the middle.
What a great team.
Sounds very much like you guys have an MMA approach to training. You guys borrow from any discipline that seems effective.
Yeah, that's a good way of thinking of it. Absolutely. And we kind of think, and it's been the same with my career, you don't leave any rocks unturned. So you're always looking for any advantage you can. Even when I was racing, obviously, I had a mental coach, I had a physical coach, I had different coaches for different disciplines, I had a riding coach, and you know, none of these it felt like I could afford, but I made it happen to figure out a way, you know. So it's one of those that you really just kind of look at every facet of it. Even on the nutrition side, like we mentioned before, I had all sorts of tests and figured out what exactly helped my body to actually be able to digest food easier and which foods were easier for my body to digest, because at any given time up to 50% of your energy can be used for digestion. So a lot of people get that wrong. And then if you had 50% more energy by eating the right foods, you'd be able to go faster, longer, or be, you know, better at your occupation or your work, or in this case, sport.
Certainly a lot more stamina involved with that.
Am I remembering that you were recognized as the most physically fit racer in your time?
Nice. I'm not sure where you found that one, but yeah, that was the part where I thought I deserved to win the races. And you have to have some reason, I think, with any pro athlete, why you're better than the rest of the riders. And I was always known as a trainaholic and really focused on being the best fit, because I figured if I came to the races more fit than anybody, that I already was going to be ahead of 90% of the class in the pro class. So that was something that I really enjoyed and pushed myself super hard. So yeah, that was a big, big plus and a reason I felt like I deserved to win.
That's back to that mental conditioning and getting at peace with the race and certainly at peace with yourself.
Yeah, and I think the mental is such a neat facet. We spend a lot of time, as you can imagine, 90%, in my opinion, once you get to the expert or pro or national pro level, becomes mental. Everybody's pretty fast. Everybody's pretty fit. You get better at both of those, but it becomes to the old saying, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. So the mental side comes in so strongly that we really work on that. And it's just like taking a test back in school. If we all study for it for, you know, 5 months, 3 hours a day, by the time we get to the test, it's going to be a knowing we're all going to get A's on it and do awesome on the test. If you don't do your homework and you don't study and you don't do behind the scenes, it's not a knowing, it's a questioning which type of rider or how good you're going to be at that race showing up. So as you get more disciplined and you have systems and you're on a schedule, then it becomes more of that mental warrior and that knowing that you're going to have your best race come forward every time.
It sounds like that attitude is part of every aspect of your training. I'm going to look forward someday to being comfortable enough on a bike to come take one of your classes. Thank you so much for taking time to visit with us tonight. I hope you have a great time while you're still here in Texas. And thank you for making the jaunt down here to help educate all of us Texans.
Sounds great. Well, thanks for having me. Great to get to talk and do this. I'd love to work with you guys for sure and help you on the riding skills for sure. It's going to be a fun journey always on the progression of learning how to get better. And I'm blessed to do what I love to do. So thank you for having me, and I enjoy Texas for sure.
And if anybody wants to reach out and schedule you for some lessons, what do they need to do?
Yeah, my best one is my website, stevehatchracing.com. And on there, they can look and they can actually email directly. And it has a link that basically goes straight to my cell phone that has a email on it, steve@stevehatchracing. So the contact page there is the best way. And I'd love to have students and really enjoy coming back down here. I come down here usually 3 or 4 times a year. I'm coming down this time for, I think, 15 days in a row. Usually I come down for 10 to 15 days, so I can schedule some clinics and different things and private lessons would be great.
Yeah, that's time enough to make some real progress with somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I heartily recommend anyone who wants to get better on a dirt bike needs to come see Steve, because I have not heard of anyone who took his class who wasn't very thoroughly impressed.
Donnie, how many different types of instruction do you think you've had over the years as far as riding a motorcycle goes?
Well, I've kind of lived both of those extremes. I basically had two motorcycle riding lives. I rode as a very young fella, and then I didn't seem to do much riding for about 35 years while I was distracted with raising a family and chasing a career, etc. And then I got back on the bike. As a young guy, me and all my buddies just kind of knuckleheaded it, you know, and we all tried to convince each other what was good riding technique when none of us really actually had a clue, and consequently we never developed into very good riders. As an older guy, I wised up and took a few lessons, and right away I learned all kind of things that I wished I would have known when I was younger. I've had several different classes by several different types of instructor in just the few years that I've been riding, and I adamantly recommend taking the shortcut. Don't spend your whole life figuring out what somebody could tell you in 10 minutes.
As Steve pointed out, it's even more than just figuring it out eventually. Take lessons early on and avoid developing some of the bad habits that we all get into when we're just winging it.
So very true. It took me a good little while to unlearn some of the things I had learned early on, and I'm still working on a few of those.
It doesn't matter if you're riding on the street or riding in the dirt. There are classes that are available that will help you in every front of motorcycle riding. Well, don't stop with the basic rider course when you get your motorcycle license. There are so many other opportunities to learn a lot of skills that could save your life.
That's right. They have courses for all different levels of rider, and there are many, many things that you can learn even as an advanced rider that will improve your skills. You know, I found it very interesting to hear Steve Hatch talk about when he was on the pinnacle of his riding career and a quite successful pro. He had coaches in almost every discipline, not only riding, but eating, thinking, stretching, exercising. So basically, endorse that knowledge that's out there. Don't turn a blind eye to it.
You don't have to enroll in a formal class. I like that Steve also has some online offerings and an ability, whether or not you've taken an actual private lesson or a group class from Steve, you can go ahead and keep learning with videos that are online and a whole lot of information that will keep you at the top of your game.
Yeah, even if your game is merely staying safe out on the highway on your motorcycle.
The first time that I rode the DR with knobby tires on the pavement, we had just completed a dirt class, and we were all leaving the dirt class and headed out to dinner. And I hopped on the throttle trying to keep up with all the super guns when everybody made a quick turn into the restaurant. Well, when I put my brakes on, again, for the first time that I put the brakes on hard with those knobby tires, that back wheel started to come around on me, and I was so thankful that I had just completed a dirt bike riding class because I had had that back wheel coming around on me in the dirt, and it was really nice to instinctively know what to do and get back on that throttle and pull away from the restaurant and circle back and take a nice smooth entrance in.
Yeah, just that little bit of know-how made the difference between taking a spill and just another day on the bike.
I've always heard that new riders should ride in the dirt for a couple of years before they ever get on pavement. I happened to visit with a young man that was out at Cycle Shack North the other day looking at street bikes. He was only 14 and wanted to get directly on a street bike. Now, he had ridden a little bit of dirt, but not very much. When you're dealing with a young rider, I believe that not only should they have some dirt bike riding experience, but put him in a cage, put him in an automobile or a truck for a couple of years while they get used to the traffic on the road, because that is one of the things you don't have to deal with on the dirt, and a new driver slash rider really needs to learn how to deal with traffic, intersections, lights, stopping distances, all those other things before they're as vulnerable as they are on a bike.
Well, I think that's certainly good advice for anyone who lives in a city as big as Houston.
Yes, if you were out in the country somewhere, it would be a whole different story. But certainly, if you have a young rider that's asking for that street motorcycle for Christmas, consider at least an enduro or a dual sport where they can get some more experience on the dirt before they venture out onto the freeways.
Well, we got to take a quick break, but hang with us. We'll be right back within the news.
The great outdoors, a set of wheels, and you, the three, are destined to dance. Outdoors with Wheels continues on KPRC 950.
When you come face-to-face with a challenge, tackle it. And when you come face-to-face with a deal, take it. During Honda's Ride Red sales event, you'll find great deals on America's best-selling ATV, the Honda Rancher. Right now, get as low as 2.99% fixed APR financing, plus up to $500 in bonus bucks on select models to use in the dealership for gear, accessories, or even your down payment. Just head to Cycle Shack North in Conroe during Honda's Ride Red sales event. Honda recommends utility ATVs for riders 16 years and older and recommends that all ATV riders take a training course. Special 2.99% fixed APR financing available for well-qualified buyers. Not all buyers may qualify. Bonus bucks are good with select new and unregistered models. See dealer for complete program details.
Finding out what's wrong with your vehicle is simple and convenient at Beckwith's Car Care. Their ASC-certified technicians and professionally trained advisors will help you understand your vehicle and keep it safe and dependable. For everything from oil changes to a new engine, from tire rotations to a check engine light, visit Beckwith's Car Care. Call 281-446-4000. They're on FM 1960, just east of Highway 59. 281-446-4000. Proud sponsor and co-host of the Auto Mojo Show on AM 950 KPRC.
Attention all outdoor adventurers, the wilderness is calling, Wilderness Rider Ranch that is.
In the rolling mountains of northern Arkansas, the sun lights fire in the sky every morning as the forest wakes up for an adventurous day at the Wilderness Rider Buffalo Ranch and OHV Park.
Just a day's drive from all the hustle, bustle, and madness of the big city, the Wilderness Rider Buffalo Ranch directly adjoins the Buffalo National River Park in the beautiful Boxley Valley Headwaters region, and it is bookended on the west side by the Sweden Creek Nature Preserve. It is some fantastic, one-of-a-kind natural property.
From hiking and mountain biking, climbing, or even off-road exploration on your dirt bike, your dual sport, ATV, side-by-side, or Jeep. Whether you camp by pristine waterfalls and unique natural wonders or enjoy more civilized lodging, your experience while exploring the Wilderness Rider Buffalo Ranch and OHV Park will create memories which last a lifetime. Start your magical vacation at WildernessRider.com.
We're screaming through the valley where the nation of botany flows, through the mud and crud and cornfields where the marijuana grows, across the railroad tracks of Persia, down the hills and up the dale, past CJ5 with a four-wheel drive and Smokey on my tail.
Two wheels or four, it doesn't matter. It's all about enjoying the outdoors. Get your tires dirty with Lynn and Donnie as Outdoors with Wheels continues on KPRC 950.
Welcome back to Outdoors with Wheels. I'm Lynn Beckwith.
And I'm Donnie Stewart.
Last weekend was a busy weekend in Houston, Texas. We spent most of the day out at Cycle Shack North at the Grom Day and had a blast. Just down the road, the Bellray Dealer Challenge was happening at 3P MX Park. And I understand they had some real hot shots there. I would have loved to have seen some of the very expert riders. And I also would have loved to have seen a couple of the youth and one particular funny rider as well.
I have an idea you may be talking about the man in the chicken suit.
Yeah, I haven't heard all the details yet, but apparently somebody decided it was a late Halloween or an early chicken day. I'm not sure which. Any idea what the meaning behind the chicken suit is?
No.
But even topping the man in the chicken suit was one of the young riders. I thought he was so cute and so ferocious in the way he was riding.
Well, it's not every day you get to carry along your favorite superhero.
Yeah, that was really something. Riding motocross 2-up with Spider-Man.
With your best mohawk on.
We have shared a photo of this young rider at OutdoorsWithWheels.com, and it is certainly the epitome and energy of motocross riding and the enthusiasm that youth show.
Sorry, no chicken suit photo at this time.
Yes, if you were at 3PMX last weekend and happened to have snapped a picture of the chicken suit fellow, we sure would love to have it. Just email it to info@outdoorswithwheels.com. I'm guessing Spider-Man had a pretty bumpy ride on the back of that little 50cc mini bike.
Yeah, you think old Spidey got a little dizzy?
Riding backwards on a mini bike, I'm thinking so. So, Donnie, the Dealer Challenge, I understand, is a pretty sought-after award by all of the different dealerships in the Houston metropolitan area?
Yeah, I'm not sure just how many years it's been going on, but I know I've been hearing about it for at least a decade or more, and it is definitely a coveted title.
So who won this year?
Our good friends at Cycle Shack snagged it.
In another piece of motorcycle news, ride-sharing takes a new twist in Southeast Asia.
Well, I think the Asians have figured out the obvious. Ride sharing is not going to be enough in itself. We are simply going to have to take up less of a footprint with our vehicles.
The Asian ride sharing company Grab allows its drivers to pick up passengers on motorcycles. I wonder how people would feel if their Uber driver showed up on a motorcycle with a spare helmet.
I think I'd be okay with it as long as the helmet was for me and he was going to ride on the back behind me.
There certainly would be a little more risk in climbing on the back of a motorcycle with someone than in their car. The cars offer a lot more protection. Now, in Asia, they are so much more used to the motorcycle culture. There are many, many more riders. There are certainly more motorcycles on the road than there are here in the U.S.
Well, that's very true. I've been to a number of countries in Southeast Asia where it is not at all uncommon to see motorcycles outnumber automobiles by a factor of 4 or 5 to 1 at the typical red light.
And the car drivers are a lot more aware of motorcycles, partially because of the sheer volume of bikes. So I'm not sure that motorcyclists in Asia face the same challenges. Now, they face challenges because there's still a lot of vehicles on the road. Now, the beauty of these motorcycles here in the U.S. and California, where they have lane splitting, even here on Houston freeways, is motorcycles take up less room.
Yeah, that's another key component that is driving this whole thing, is that Asia is coming to terms with the fact that we simply cannot take up the same footprint we're used to taking up with our individual vehicles. We are going to have to not only ride share, but use vehicles that are much more space conscious.
Honda is one of the manufacturers that is joining forces with Grab. The information's a little unclear on exactly how much Honda's invested and how this is all going to work out, but it's great to see the manufacturers supporting something like ride sharing.
Yeah, and it's nice to see motorcycles getting into the picture in the whole thing, too.
Well, don't panic. I think we're a ways away before Uber or Lyft picks you up on a motorcycle, but I, for one, will be voting thumbs up when the opportunity comes.
Yeah, we motorcyclists know for a fact that it's easier to get around traffic when you have something as nimble as a bike. And I'm not talking about putting it on slice and dice in the freeway and scaring people, but it is just simply easier to maneuver a motorcycle toward the open traffic lane than it is a big bulky car.
Especially if Houston or Texas in general passes lane splitting laws.
Well, that would really be a big, big boost to this whole grab program, because then it would make it possible for the bikes to make much, much better time in ugly Houston traffic than conventional vehicles.
Well, whether you are getting picked up in an automobile, a pickup truck, or a motorcycle, do a little bit of research on the ride-sharing program you're using. Make sure that you have a dependable and safe driver before you climb in or on their vehicle. I'm particularly excited about the next piece of news.
Yeah, me too. This has some real implications for us dirt riders.
For a long time, Amazon has been talking about using drones for delivery, and they are actually testing this program in England now. It began early in December.
Yeah, it's finally off the ground, so to speak.
Literally off the ground. The drones are fairly large. They looked a little larger than I thought they actually would be. They could carry up to 5 pounds, and they're promising delivery in less than 30 minutes.
Man, oh man, isn't that going to be a godsend for people out on the tat?
There are so many places that adventure travelers go on motorcycles and even in other vehicles that if you could have something you really needed, whether it's a fresh pound of coffee or whether it's a part to repair your motorcycle, if that drone could go anywhere you are, wow, what a concept.
Yes, indeed. And not only for the Amazon, but that same concept will certainly find use with team managers on the Baja 1000 and some of the longer endurance races. If you could get your entire inventory that's on your parts truck readily dispensed to wherever it's needed in a timely fashion, that could save an entire segment.
There is a great video that Amazon has released that really explains how this program works very well. Now, it's on a very limited test basis, just a couple of customers right now. They'll be expanding it as time goes on. And as in everything, whether it's a new concept motorcycle, whether it's a new concept toaster, or whether it's something like this very advanced drone program, it takes experimentation. And kudos to companies like Amazon that continue to nudge at the normal envelope.
Well, don't get too excited just yet, because right now this is only experimental in England. It's only with a few customers, but it is working and it is showing a lot of promise. I believe currently the range is 15 miles from the distribution warehouse, but obviously as the drones grow up, this will change. And one of these days, we'll be phoning in for our parts when we're broke down on the side of the road.
Well, the package we saw delivered in the video, the drone centered in on an Amazon plaque that could be placed out in your yard or placed on the side of the road. And I'm assuming it could just be driven off of GPS coordinates.
I'm sure it operates by GPS coordinates to get to that general area. I suspect that it does need to hone in on that little placard, but it's only about the size of a number plate, so it's no big deal to carry along.
Now, just last week, we visited with Joe Martin, who is an international traveler and does some very unique things in the way he records his journey. He has a virtual reality background, and he's used drones for better camera footage and also so that you can literally follow him as he rides along for this very dynamic virtual riding experience. So drones are working their way into our society on all sorts of levels.
Yeah, they're going to end up doing many, many things for us very soon. And Joe, of course, is right on the forefront of experimenting with that.
The motorcycle shows this year have been featuring more and more smaller CC bikes. I'm really excited to get to the Dallas show in January and hopefully bring some very interesting news back to all of our listeners.
Yeah, this is going to be great having it just right up the road. Hopefully some of our listeners will make it up there and they won't have to count on us to relay it. But you did hit on the right topic. It seems that the industry is moving rapidly towards offering some smaller displacement bikes that are a little more roadworthy than your typical trail bike with a license plate. And that's a good thing to see.
Some of the adventure bikes had gotten so big and so cumbersome, and these new bikes hopefully are going to be more of a hybrid and let you get a little more aggressive on the dirt.
Yeah, sort of a giant adventure road bike meets a small fuel economy-minded motor.
Even the Yamaha Tenere and the Africa Twin are going on a little bit of a trimmed-down exercise program, too.
Yes, as I understand it, both factories are looking at a little weight reduction for these rather portly adventure bikes in hopes that they might get fit for enduro use.
The Progressive International Motorcycle Show will come to Dallas on January 13th through the 15th. That's a Friday through a Sunday. Donnie and I will be there and hope that a whole bunch of you from Houston make that drive, because it will indeed be a very dynamic experience.
And who knows, if the weather's good, we might even make the ride instead of the drive.
Well, as always, we are going to post links to all of the topics we've discussed this week at OutdoorsWithWheels.com. You can catch us on Twitter. It's OutdoorsWW. And our Facebook page, of course, Outdoors with Wheels.
Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. And we remind you that if you have a topic you'd like to hear us discuss, send us an email and let's talk about it. info@outdoorswithwheels.com.
Pull out your winter gear. It might be a little cool from this point on. Happy riding, everybody.
Well, if you can't stay warm, at least stay active. Kickstands up. Let's ride.
Outdoors with Wheels. Tune to KPRC 950 every Sunday morning at 7 as Lynn and Donnie bring you another informative and entertaining show. Thank you for listening. Now, head into the great outdoors. Get those tires dirty and get your mind right. Oh, wow.